From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Tensions on the Korean Peninsula were at the center of the discussion at the United Nations Security Council Friday. This was the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, opening the special high-level session.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. President, allow me to first thank Japan and thank you personally for convening this meeting. I'd also like to acknowledge and welcome the many ministers and other representatives around this table, as well as the participation of the Republic of Korea and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea in this important meeting. The situation on the Korean Peninsula is the most tense and dangerous peace and security issue in the world today. I'm deeply concerned by the risk of military confrontation, including as a result of unintended escalation or miscalculation. I know that the Undersecretary General for Political Affairs briefed the Security Council early this week on his recent visit to the DPRK. I will not repeat what he said, but I want to note it was the first in-depth political exchange of views between the United Nations Secretariat and officials in Pyongyang in almost 8 years. And his visit came indeed at the end of a difficult period. In 2017, the DPRK conducted activities related to its nuclear and ballistic missile programs at an alarming and accelerated pace. On September the 3rd, it concluded its sixth nuclear explosive test, involved what its claim was, and I quote, a two-stage thermonuclear weapon, end of quote. This test caused a seismic event of magnitude 6.1. Over the year, the DPRK conducted 20 ballistic missile launches. This has included its first tests of two intercontinental range ballistic missiles, as well as tests of new medium and intermediate range ballistic missiles. In September, two Hwasong-12 intermediate range ballistic missiles overflew Japan. No aviation or maritime safety notifications were given for any of these launches. The International Atomic Energy Agency remains unable to access the DPRK to verify the status of its nuclear program. The agency monitors developments through satellite imagery. At the Yongbyon Nuclear Scientific Research Center, it has observed signatures consistent with the operation of the plutonium production reactor and reported centrifuge enrichment facility. The agency also continues to observe indications of ongoing mining, milling, and concentration activities at the Pyongsan Uranium Mine and Pyongsan Uranium Concentration Plant. The DPRK remains the only country to continue to break the norm against nuclear testing. Its actions show blatant disregard for the will and resolutions of the Security Council and undermine the international norm against nuclear testing and the nuclear non-proliferation regime. Security Council Resolution 2375, adopted in September, includes the strongest sanctions ever imposed on the DPRK. I reiterate my call on the DPRK leadership to comply with the relevant Security Council resolutions and allow space for the resumption of dialogue on denuclearization and sustainable peace on the Korean Peninsula. While all concerned seek to avoid an accidental escalation leading to conflict, the risk is being multiplied by misplaced overconfidence, dangerous narratives and rhetoric, and the lack of communication channels. It is time to re-establish and strengthen communication channels, including inter-Korean and military-to-military channels. This is critical to lower the risk of miscalculation or misunderstanding and reduce tensions in the region. Any military action could have devastated and unpredictable consequences. The unity of the Security Council is an essential instrument to achieve the goal of denuclearization and creates the space for diplomatic initiatives aimed at achieving it in a peaceful manner. The Security Council's call in Resolution 2375 is united, and I quote, to further work to reduce tensions so as to advance the prospects for a comprehensive settlement. And then, expressing its desire for a peaceful and diplomatic solution to the situation, and I go on quoting, welcoming efforts by Council members as well as other member states to facilitate a peaceful and comprehensive solutions through dialogue. The Secretariat and I are your partner in this effort, and my good offices remain always available. I believe the United Nations Secretariat adds strategic value in three key areas. First, impartiality. Second, the voice and norms, values and principles for peaceful and diplomatic solutions in line with international law. And third, offering channels of communication with all parties. The organization is a key venue where all six parties are represented and can interact to narrow differences in understanding and promote confidence-building measures. As Secretary General, I commit to protecting and strengthening these three areas. Security Council unity behind this effort is essential. Mr. President, I welcome the Council's humanitarian and human rights concerns. The Secretariat has consistently conveyed the importance of disassociating the peace and security situation from humanitarian imperatives. 70% of the population of the DPRK is categorized as food insecure, and 40% are malnourished. The 2017 DPRK Humanitarian Needs and Priorities document calls for $114 million to meet urgent requirements. This is only 30% funded. I ask all member states, particularly those around this table, to carefully consider the humanitarian principles that underpin our work. The people of the DPRK need generosity and help. Mr. President, Excellencies, not long from now, athletes will gather in Pyeongchang for the Winter Olympics. I express my sincerest hope that the DPRK will take part. As the General Assembly has recognized, these games can foster an atmosphere of peace, development, tolerance, and understanding on the Korean Peninsula and beyond. We need to spread and deepen that spirit of hope and possibility. Diplomatic engagement is the only pathway to sustainable peace and denuclearization. We must do everything we can to reach that objective and avoid the level of danger that would be unpredictable in its trajectory and catastrophic in its consequences. Thank you.
The Vice Minister for Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Korea or South Korea addressed some of the concerns raised by the other members of the Security Council.
Mr. President, thank you very much for convening this meeting and the opportunity to speak to the Council. I also thank the Secretary General for his briefing. Let me start by rewinding the clock to December 2016. The Council had adopted resolutions 2270 and 2321 in response to North Korea's fourth and fifth nuclear tests, with the hope that this would change the behavior of North Korea. However, fast forwarding to December 2017, the situations have further deteriorated. North Korea conducted yet another nuclear test and launched 20 ballistic missiles this year. To be fair, the international community responded by further strengthening and implementing the Security Council resolutions while not losing sight of the efforts to resume dialogues. These endeavors, however, have not been enough to bring North Korea back to the negotiation table for denuclearization. Mr. President, just over a couple of weeks ago, North Korea launched its most advanced ballistic missile with intercontinental range. North Korea claimed afterwards to have achieved the completion of its state nuclear force. Amid diverging assessment, what is certain is that North Korea is indeed in the final stages of nuclear weaponization. If completed, it will fundamentally alter the security landscape in the region and beyond. Many commentators point out that it will aggravate tension in the already heavily militarized region and even worry about the risk of nuclear proliferation to rogue states and non-state actors. North Korea also threatens to shatter the foundation of international non-proliferation regimes and continues to inflict lasting harm on its own people. The international community, now more so than ever, must grasp the gravity and urgency of the North Korean threat and find ways to halt its nuclear program and bring it back to the path of denuclearization. Mr. President, what matters more now is not a mere assessment of the North Korean threat, but rather our united will and firm action against this regime. North Korea is fiercely waging a battle of wills against the international community. It wants to be recognized as a nuclear weapon state on its own terms and conditions. Our answer should be absolutely no. We should not be coerced by North Korea's continuing provocations, but rather uphold our principles while firmly responding to its reckless behaviors. At the same time, we should not be provoked into conflict, nor should we shut the doors of dialogue and peace. Our common goal is the complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of North Korea in a peaceful manner. In this context, I would like to underscore that 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympic Games should be an Olympic for peace. My government urges North Korea to join the Olympic Games and to seize this opportunity for dialogues. North Korea is also waging a battle of actions against the international community. Time and again, North Korea has found and taken advantage of the loopholes in the Council resolutions. North Korea has preyed on the weak links of the international community. The sanctions are not an end in themselves and are not meant to bring down North Korea, but to bring it to the negotiation table for denuclearization. However, we are to bring the unwilling North Korea back to the table. We must fill in all gaps identified in the implementation of the resolutions. In this regard, we deeply appreciate the active efforts of the 1718 Committee. The international community has made some progress, including the restriction on oil supply, the export ban on North Korea's key products, and the prohibition of overseas work authorization. Many countries, even those with long-standing relationship with North Korea, have joined these efforts, including through the expulsion of individuals on the sanctions list. The record high number of submissions of international implementation of reports for resolutions 2270 and 2321 is a testimony to the enhanced awareness of the international community regarding the North Korean threat. However, in our race against North Korea, we need to do more, way more. North Korea's evasive tactics are becoming more sophisticated, and this regime continues to exploit all weak links. In fact, the Republic of Korea has been actively cooperating with its partners to identify and stop North Korea's attempts to evade sanctions and seek alternative routes to sell coals and other banned products and to illegally import oil. Let me emphasize that none of us should become that weak link, and that none of us should condone groups and individuals who assist North Korea's defiance against this council. In this regard, sharing best practices against North Korea's evasive tactics would be helpful in closing the loopholes. Mr. President, I began my remarks by recalling how we ended the year 2016 and how North Korea defiantly continued its series of provocations in 2017. We cannot afford to sit again at the end of 2018 and feel as if it were a deja vu of 2017, regretting our business-as-usual approach. The Council members and the international community must redouble their efforts to ensure a seamless and complete implementation of the sanctions and apply as much pressure as necessary until North Korea returns to the negotiation table with a sincere willingness for denuclearization. With a sense of urgency, we should make North Korea perceive without a doubt that it will pay heavily for its provocations, that it will never be accepted as a nuclear weapon state, and that dialogue for denuclearization is the only viable option. The Republic of Korea reaffirms its solid commitment to achieve the denuclearization of North Korea and the establishment of permanent peace on the Korean Peninsula. We will work closely with all countries to this end. Thank you.
The comments by the Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs of South Korea were followed by comments from his colleague in the DPRK, or North Korea.
Mr. President, at the outset, I condemn Japan in my strongest possible terms, who is holding presidency of the UN Security Council during December this year, and instigated by the United States, is now making as able use of its opportunity by convening the ministerial briefings of UN Security Council on non-proliferation issue of the DPRK. I have to mention about that the meeting today is none other than a desperate measure plotted by the U.S. being terrified by the incredible might of our republic that has successfully achieved the great historic cause of completing the state nuclear force, cause of building of a rocket power through a great November event. I believe that if non-proliferation issue is to be discussed, the first countries to be brought before the Court of Justice at the U.S., who is the kingpin of virtual and horizontal proliferation, pumping astronomical almost of funds into the modernization of nuclear weapons and hindering in every way the
denuclearization of the Middle East and Japan, who keeps more than necessary stockpile of plutonium and seeks every opportunity to produce nuclear weapons. Our possession of nuclear weapons was an individual self-defensive measure of defend our sovereignty and the rights of existence and development from the U.S. Nuclear threat and the blackmail, and if anyone is to blame for it, the U.S. is the one who must be held accountable. There are several nuclear power states over the world now, but there is no country like the U.S. who is continuing to openly threat and blackmail other countries with its nuclear weapons. We could easily draw to the answer of this case, only being noted now much amount of money of the U.S. is running through for the maintenance and modernization of its nuclear weapons. It is already well known to the outside that the U.S. has now stockpiled more than 4,000 nuclear warheads in its nuclear arsenals, deploying over 115 technical nuclear bombs over the territory of its NATO allies, and is now planning to consume up around $1 trillion for its nuclear weapons maintenance and modernization during 30 years in future. All of the figures above clearly prove that the U.S. is only the ring leader in nuclear proliferation. It is also disturbing to see the U.N. Security Council acting like a tool of the U.S. and playing to its turn instead of keeping impartiality as the lifeline in its activities through to its mission to pressure international peace and security. It is the UN Security Council of today that, while ignoring our repeated request to bring the issue of the provocated and aggressive joint military exercise on the table of the Council, the most graphic manifestation of nuclear threat and blackmail of the U.S. keeps itself busy knowing point to the U.S. that assessed sanctions and pressure against us by condemning our self-defensive measures. The DPRK, at every time when the U.S.-South Korean joint military exercise that threatening seriously the peace and security of the South Korean Peninsula, its region, and the world are waged, submitted the letters to the Security Council for 11 times from the year 2015, requesting to raise the issue and discuss it emergently at the Council. However, on the contrary, turning away its face at every time of our request for such aggressive joint military exercise to the last, the UN Security Council has adopted 11 sanction resolutions against my country, denouncing our self-defensive measures as a threat to international peace and security. With all above mentioned fact, we could easily prove unfairness, double standard, and party prejudice of the Security Council. As we have clarified in the government statement, the development and advancement of the strategic weapons of the DPRK are entirely to defend the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of the country from the U.S. nuclear blackmail policy and the nuclear threat, and to ensure the peaceful life of the people, and therefore we would not pose any threat to any country and region as long as the interests of the DPRK are not infringed upon. reiterating once again our nuclear force is served thoroughly for each mission as self-defensive deterrent, and it is fully according to the Rule 51 of the UN Charter stipulating the right of existence exercise of self-defense measures to be made by individual UN member states. The DPRK is in accordance with the decree of the Supreme People's Assembly adopted on 1 April 2013, has established the abolished perfect system and order of stockpiling and maintaining the fully guarantee any kind of illegal transfer of nuclear weapons, its technology and weapon-grade nuclear materials. As of the result, there is no single case being raised about our nuclear proliferation up to the moment. All of the data of impurity related with my country's proliferation scattered by hostile forces are totally groundless plot intending to defame the dignity of the DPRK, the powerful nuclear state, and nothing but only violation behavior of interventive by picking up the issue of strengthening of our national defensive measures. The possession of the nuclear by the DPRK could not be the violation of any international law and regulation in any case, for the DPRK had withdrawn from the NPT in a most justified way. At the same time, it is clear to everybody that the DPRK does not inform any interest of other countries, and the purpose of possession of nuclear deterrent is only for self-defensive and to safeguard the peace of the region. The DPRK, whatever what says, will march forward and make great advancement victoriously as world's most powerful nuclear any military state, upholding the line on simultaneously development of the two fronts. In accordance hereby, I reform once again that the DPRK as a responsible nuclear power and a peace-loving state will sincerely fulfill its non-proliferation obligation assumed before the international society and put its every effort to achieve the noble cause of safeguarding world peace and security. Thank you.
Those remarks by John Song Nam, the DPRK's permanent representative to the UN, were greeted with the following comments from U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson.
First, I think we have heard all of these things before from this government. There is no doubt that the DPRK's pursuit of a nuclear arsenal is in clear violation of international law, directly challenges the global nonproliferation regime, and greatly threatens international peace and security. This body has unanimously made these points for well over a decade now. The international community condemns North Korea's pursuit of a nuclear arsenal, and we will never accept a nuclear North Korea. The DPRK's unlawful acts cannot be ignored, nor can they be explained away. The DPRK must be held accountable for its actions. And in that regard, any notion that the source of tensions on the peninsula are the fault of no one party, there is but one party that has carried out illegal detonation of nuclear devices. There is but one party that continues to launch intercontinental ballistic missiles in violation of UN Security Council resolutions, overflying another sovereign nation, Japan, threatening civil aviation security because these launches are undertaken with no notification. There is but one party that has been targeted with punishment and penalties through the most vigorous regime sanction ever enacted, and that is the Kim regime in North Korea. They alone are responsible for these tensions. They alone must take responsibility for these tensions, and they alone can solve these tensions.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.